I'm Jane, and this is Fran, and we're from KTWH Radio here in Two Harbors, and we're visiting the Clover Valley Farm Trail Festival this afternoon at Agate Acres. I'm wondering if you'd like to say some words about your your farm. I see it's Farm Landy.
Farm Landy. Yep, that's my last name, Landy. Ah. the greatest coincidence in the world.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so we're here today talking about native pollinators, native bees. I have the farm now, but in my previous job, I guess, I was the native pollinator researcher, so I learned a lot about identifying bees and raising bees, and now we'd have honeybees on the farm, but yeah, just like a love of mine, so brought all my bee stuff to share with people.
Well, and I can see you've got a wonderful display here. It looks like you have real bee specimens, and flower visiting insects, and you've got something here called the blue orchard bee. Could you tell me about that?
Yeah, so the blue orchard bee is a solitary cavity nesting bee. It's really great for pollinating things like apple blossoms, like open-faced flowers. It's much better than honeybees because they have these long hairs that they collect pollen, and you can actually promote that type of bee with reeds or cavities in your yard. So I've got like the reeds for the kiddos to put together a little bundle and take home. Basically all you need is a stem 6 or so inches that's hollow, the right size. Every bee species has a different size preference, but this one, if you want your apple tree blossoms pollinated, it's like 5/8 of an inch or something very specific like that. It's just a native bee that you can try to protect with a few reeds in your yard.
So this has been a specialty of yours, an interest for many years by the sound of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really fun to look at the display here of the flower visiting insects because they are such a wide range of sizes, from tiny until the size of a bumblebee. And I'm wondering for these... you're saying these are native Phragmites stems that you're using for the cavity nesting?
Yep, so this is something that you can find in ditches, along lakes and rivers and stuff like that. It's got, it's a tall grass, so it can get 5 to 8 feet tall, but it's got nodes every 6 or 10 inches or so. So what I do is I cut the grass, dry it, and then I cut it into segments at mm-hmm. each node, so it's closed at one end mm-hmm. and open on the other. And then you can just bundle them together. You want to maybe 6 or so in a bundle. You don't want too many because it could be a target for birds if there's a bunch of larvae in one spot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So
how do you bundle them? Do you use rubber bands?
Rubber band.
Okay.
Yeah, you can, you know, if you find, you could use like a PVC pipe or a hose or something like that to put them in. Anything really that keeps them secure.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them to be flopping around in mm-hmm. the wind. They want to be pretty, like you want to imitate a hole in a log, basically.
Okay. So it looks like a fistful of sticks,
six inch
hollow
long.
Sticks.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep, different sizes will attract different species of bees.
Mm-hmm. I also noticed that you have what look like birdhouses, and you have the sticks placed, kind of pushed in, so it looks almost like a honeycomb of sticks. Is that the way one way to use them?
Yeah, yeah.
To present them, basically?
Yeah, it is. It is it's pretty concentrated. There's a lot of stems there. There's mm-hmm. you're not going to have that many. So there's mm-hmm. probably 100
okay.
reeds right there. You wouldn't have 100 bees nesting in there. That's just too dense. They wouldn't choose to nest in that close of proximity. The one thing that I recommend if you know, a lot of people want to, because it's very cute. It's a very mm-hmm. cute garden thing. If people want to put things like that in their garden, to kind of rotate out the reeds after a year or two, because you don't want pests building up. If you're going to have a lot of bees in one spot, you inevitably get you get pests.
Like cleaning your birdhouse.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. So when it's dense like that, you just gotta kind of, there's a little bit more responsibility involved.
Mm-hmm. Well, I looked at your website, Farm Landy, and it looks like you're fairly diversified. So you have other things going on than the bees. And this is really the pollinators. It's very impressive, your stand right now. It's very educational. You've got some artwork. And then these wonderful displays of the bees on the pinned. What would you
specimens.
Call it? Specimens. Mm-hmm. That's the word I'm searching for. What else are you growing at Farm Landing? And another question, excuse me, too. How long have you been going here?
Yeah, so we bought the farm in 2020, so this is our third season. In the spring, I focus on native perennials for pollinators. That's our main thing. I do, like, website sales. You can do, like, pre-orders in the off-season or whatever, starting in January, February. And then I kind of transition to vegetables as the season goes on. So usually by July, for sure, end of June, I've got, you know, but lots of vegetables, at least half and half. I sell at the farmer's market in Duluth twice a week, so I'm bringing plants every week throughout the season, but I just have more and more vegetables as the season goes on.
Sounds like it sounds as though it's been a huge project if you've just started in the last few years.
Yeah, we did do a lot of the bee stuff was before that. I had a, like while we were looking for the farm, I had a bee business out of our home in Lakeside, so I had my bees spread out, and I was doing a lot of the insect drawing and stuff at that time. So that was kind of, you know, I haven't done all of this in the last 3 years. It's been sort of a, probably like a 7 or 8 year project. But
I'm really impressed with your background with the bees and your knowledge, and it's really interesting to see how you've combined that with promoting pollinators. And
yeah,
just
well, farming and insects are so interrelated, you know. The farming benefits from the pollinators, and the pollinators benefit from the vegetables, so it's like I came to want to have a farm when I was studying insects, because I was going to all these farms, seeing different practices, meeting farmers, and that just made me want to have a farm, too. So, yeah.
Just marvelous. Yeah. What has been your experience with the farm trail this summer? And what are you putting in your stand for people to buy when they're visiting the farm trail?
Yeah, it's been great. So the stand, I have a big market on Saturday, and the big draw for me for the trail is that I can get and just a little bit extra. Anything that doesn't sell on Saturday is really easy to put out in the stand on Sunday.
Sure.
that's, you know, for coming from the tired farmer's perspective. But it's been great. You know, we're kind of out and about on Sundays, and so we say hi to people when we can, and just kind of gets a little bit extra vegetables out the door when, you know, without us having to do very much.
Sure. And they get to meet you and hear about your bees.
Yeah, exactly.
You should let her go.
I can see you've got somebody standing here, and he may have some questions.
Okay.
Thank you so much. What was your name again?
Claire Landy.
From Claire Landy. Thanks, Claire.
Yep, you're welcome.